I said the Lord will give you more wisdom, knowledge, understanding.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
There is something that going on in my heart, in my spirit, every day, every night. When I heard about divorce in the church. So my question tonight, last time that people was asking you a question about marriage yesterday, last week Friday, I wanted to come out to ask you the question, but I didn't have the opportunity to come out, but now I am here to ask the question. I said, Pastor, how can we stop divorce in the church of God?
The answer is very simple. Number one, allow the Bible to guide your marriage. There will be no divorce. If you allow the Bible to guide you, if you allow the Bible to rule you, if you allow yourself, not only in the area of marriage, but in every area of our lives, if you make this Bible, this inspired scripture, the book that God gave us to live by, He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Hallelujah. If you allow the Holy Ghost to lead you, and them that are led by the Spirit, hallelujah, they are the sons of God. And the Bible says that if a man's way please the Lord, it maketh him to be at peace, even with his enemies. Talk less of your wife, your husband. So the only reason is because people have decided to put the Bible aside and use their brain to live together. It will not work. Second reason is that Satan, and that is where it is more dangerous. Satan has smuggled tares in the church. Satan has planted his own people in the church with one assignment. What is a tare? The Bible gives a parable of the wheat and the tares. There are two groups of people in the church. The wheat was planted. Then wild men slept, the enemy came and planted tares. He planted it there for a reason. The purpose, the ministry of the tares is to choke the wheat. That's the purpose. Every farmer knows that after planting, there is a weeding time. Where you go and weed the wheat. If not, the crop that you planted will be disturbed by those weeds. And those weeds grow very fast. Because they have a ministry to make sure that the wheat does not grow. Now they are there in the church, and the children of God, before praying, before marriage, before choosing a partner, each of you to pray for God's guidance. You just see with your carnal eye and make conclusion, I love him, I love her, and you come together. Then the tear that you may get yoked with will start his assignment on you. After the marriage, may you not marry a tear in the name of Jesus. May you marry a seed of God in the name of Jesus. That is why we have problems in marriages. I just want to emphasize this, because the thing they pay me, even me, I will join husband, sister, brother, and sister. They meet in the church. After that, now Pastor Thomas, they said to them. Because I didn't vex too much. How can two believers marry and cannot live peacefully? Amen. You see the difference between a tear and a wheat, between a serpent seed and a seed of God. That is why we must receive the Holy Ghost. You see, when you have the Holy Ghost, He is untreatable. You see, when a wise, it's a spirit of wisdom. When a wise counsel is given to you, something inside of you takes it. You see, But when you don't have something to receive counsel from you, then you will have to live, you know, by foolishness. Members of this church, I have a successful marriage, so I am in position to counsel brethren. And I didn't marry as a Christian, so I know from both sides how it is. Enough to counsel you, even if you are married to an unbeliever. I can counsel you. I have spoken to the women. The women just finished their program, and I had time to talk to them. They spoke also to one to themselves. And I'm hoping to have opportunity to talk to men too, but I don't know when I will have the opportunity, because it is normally during camp where, you know, there are some things we should speak so that women will not hear. And there are some things we should talk to the women too that the men should not hear. Because some men will take advantage of even that type of counsel. Say, you hear waiting pastor talk. Amen. I want to use this opportunity to say something. For the men, there is something that I told the men sometime last year or early this year on how to live with women. You cannot live with a woman the way you live with a fellow man. Your reasoning level is not the same. Your emotional, ability, your emotions are not in the same frequency. Is the Bible said that men should live with the women, their wives, say, according to knowledge. The knowledge there is you should live with them with wisdom. So it means there is something, there is a special way to live with women. Look, you can have trouble anywhere else, and you can contain it, but with a woman at home, no man can contain it. Amen. No man can contain. The Bible says so. That it's better to live in a rooftop than to dwell with a contentious woman at home. Proverbs said it. Now, knowing how the nature, the special species that they are, there must be a special way to live with them to achieve harmony. And I concluded it in one statement. I say, men, before your wife, be a mumu. My sister said, yes, sir. Be a mumu. You can be wise anywhere else, your business anywhere, but when he reaches home, be a mumu. Praise the Lord. You know what I mean by a mumu? Amen. You are doing it in your own interests. Stop unnecessary argument with your wife, because when a woman wants to have her way, nothing can stop it. She will have her way. If you don't let her have her way, then you will not have peace. And the truth is, peace is costly. You cannot achieve peace if you too don't pay certain price. It's true. Peace is not demanded. You walk towards achieving peace. When I say be a mumu, amen. Be a mumu. I was telling you, I said, I have some girls in my house that grew up with me. And my sister-in-laws, but they are my children now. I said, one day I was sitting down in my we were eating with my wife. She said, give me your phone, I want to make a call. I said, there's no credit inside. She said, still give me. I said, take. She used the phone, finished. The credit finished. He said, it dropped out. He said, she needs money for what? So, I said, all the money I have here, I said, I still need it. I said, take everything, take. I don't know what she asked again. I said, take. Then they were bringing food to us on the dining table. Then I called the young girl. I said, pray that God will give you a mumu husband like me. Amen. And they all started laughing. He said, why do you say you're not a mumu? I said, if not be mumu, see what thing they do here, sis. Amen. Praise the Lord. No, it's true now. Hallelujah. It's not everything you see that you talk. It's not everything you see that you pick quarrel with. That's the problem that men have. I want to use the opportunity of your question to say one thing. Church, listen. Listen. When your house is unkept, if your house is dirty and you're a married man, a visitor comes to the house and the house is dirty, who will they hold responsible? It's your wife. So, why are you now angry with her, even beating her because she didn't clean the house? Eh? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So what you have to do is, deal with them according to wisdom. Wisdom. If you don't declare your income to your wife, you cannot tell her she's too demanding. So let her know, see my salary, so that she can know when the money is finished. Am I correct? No, it's true. No, it's true now. If she doesn't know how much you earn, how will she know how to budget on your salary? If she knows that you earn 100,000 naira and you come and give her 50,000 naira and you still buy some things, then she will use her mental mathematics and know that the salary don't finish. So, will she still ask you for money again? But you are not asking. No, they will not ask. See, if you are honest enough with them and open enough, they will know. Listen, church. Why do you say your wife is suspicious? Is suspicious. She doesn't trust me. She doesn't trust me. You don't command trust. You earn trust. Women. No, but what I'm saying is the truth. You cannot come and tell somebody, look, you must trust me. No, I must make you trust me. Why do you keep some things secret from her? It's true. Why should your wife not have access to your phone, to your email, to your Skype, Facebook? Why should she not have access to your chats? Why? Why are you hiding something from her? Praise the Lord. If your wife, listen, church, why will you, a married man, be close to a young girl, to another woman, who is not close to your wife, but close to you? If a woman wants to come to your family, she should come through your wife. A woman does not come to the family through the husband. It's a man that will come to the family through the husband. The woman comes. So if you have first met the woman, then make sure the woman befriends your wife. And if your wife rejects her, put her away. The reason is this. There is something about the women that God made them. They sense danger faster than the men. When you are close to even another man, and that man is not clean, she may not have any reason, but you see her spirit rejecting him. Watch it. Time will tell and prove that feeling. Something is wrong. When the woman is telling you, stop moving with this guy, I just don't, my spirit not agree with him, don't just reject it. God created them with that ability to see things that we the men cannot see. Praise the Lord. After all, you are more busy than she. So, she is more in a position to notice the things you don't notice. When she advises you, therefore, don't just say, this woman, don't start. You don't want me to have friends. I brought the other one, you say, no be him. I brought the other one, you say, no be him. Praise the Lord. And don't allow any third party to bring problem to the family. Amen. These are some of the things we talk about. Why will a man, I said it the other day, if you hear some things that cause problem between husband and wife at home, if you hear it, sometimes I feel like standing up to slap the man. I'm telling you. She told me she was going to Ikeja. I went to iPhone. I discovered that she was in Ikoyi. But she told me you are going to Ikeja. How come now you go to Ikoyi? Now what cause fight with that? Is it not Ikeja you say you dey go? You prostitute. What do you go do? As if you are talking to a kid. So an adult has no freedom to go where he wants to go. If she was going to Ikeja, the thing when she they find, they can't tell her, say, there Ikoyi. She pursued the thing, go Ikoyi. What is wrong with it? An adult. Because you don't trust her. And a man that is busy pursuing his wife. Hello? Where are you? Immediately the woman leaves house, go outside. Every hour, he's calling. Who are those in the background? I'm hearing one voice in the background. Ooh. Who are you with? I call you four times before you pick the phone. Why did you call us? I didn't hear. Where are you that you didn't hear? Now fight in the star, so. Praise the Lord. See what comes to fight. Why did I call you and you didn't pick the call? Where were you? Who were you with? And the way you answer me, I suspect you were somewhere. Where were you? And I always say something. Listen, church. Listen. This is a statement of fact. A man, you must believe. I personally believe that I am the best man that can marry my wife, and that there is no better man that she can get than me. Whether I am right or wrong, this is what I believe. And because I believe that, I don't expect any man to be attractive enough for her to give attention to me. Now, whether I am right or wrong, now you sabi, but this is my stand. It helps me therefore to relate with her. Praise the Lord. It's because you know you're not taking care of your wife. That's why you're afraid another man may carry and go. If you are doing what you should do, you are taking care of that woman. You have showed that woman you love her. Praise the Lord. A woman has enough love from a man, nothing else will take her heart anywhere. And showing love is not by giving her material things. A woman needs security. If she feels secured with you, security in all grounds, that you are protecting her from your hostile relations, that you are understanding with her, that you are caring and that you have understanding, she will give you anything you are looking for. Praise the Lord. I'm giving you wisdom now. Some people go sit down there and say, this man, hey, may God give you the kind of wife where I get, you go change, you don't go talk like that. Some people feel they talk like that now. And you don't know that your wife is what you have made her to be. She is what you have made her to be. It's true. If your wife is always shouting, there must be something that ignites that shout. If your wife is always nagging, it simply means you don't give her enough attention. That's the truth. So all this unnecessary fight. I told you the other day, I have heard where a man and a woman, they were fighting. You know where the fight started from? From toothpaste in the bathroom. I told you, when you want to press toothpaste, press it from the bottom. You press it in the middle. That's the fight. Now fight with that. You useless person. Simple instruction, you cannot take it. Why should you press the toothpaste in the middle? I say press it, starting from the beginning to the top. Then they begin to fight. Then the woman too, say, wait till you this one, not too much. And this one, they say, you are talking to me like that? Now they fight with that too. See, Satan has no address. He goes to and fro. Don't make your home his permanent address. Amen. So, all the best you can do is be a mumu for your wife. That is, look for it. What does she want? Do you know that as little as you wake up in the morning and tell your wife, honey, I love you. Even though you're vexed with them. Honey, I love you. You just, okay, try it and see. Honey, I love you. Hi, Gopu. She goes, smile. Then she will add, thank you. She going to wonder, what did come over this man like this? Hey, my husband is changing. Come back from work. He said, honey, I knew you'll be hungry, so I branched a fast food and I bought you this. Hey! Amen. Even when you don't mean it, say it. Do you understand me? Even if you don't mean it, say it. Just say it. Praise the Lord. People will be wondering now how this man they live with his wife for house. I'm telling you, it's wisdom. Me, I don't have a problem with my wife. Amen. God packaged that one from heaven and gave me. The one where they tell you now that the ones from my experience where they jam counseling people up and down, I take no. You know, when people they come counsel, they learn from there too. Yes, now, to avoid the thing that can cause problem. Imagine that I allow demons, me as a pastor, to come and live in my house. No, there must be peace. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The woman likes every opportunity you have. Show them you care. Show them you love them. See, in the public, hold your wife. In the public, hold your wife. The thing goes sweeter. Do you hold your wife?
I hold her.
You hold her? Keep holding her. Hold her. Praise the Lord. No, hold it. Honestly. You know, they love these sweet, sweet things. You have to say, I know my room. How my life will be? You are the best thing that has ever happened to me. Especially the period you don't have money. compensating with the sweet things you say in the mouth. It will solve problem. Okay, I think I've said enough. What's the other question?
The other question I want to ask again tonight is, when a man and a woman come to you as a pastor, that I want to get married with this sister, how can you know that this marriage is a false marriage?
It's a false marriage.
Yes. For you to avoid divorce in your church.
That question will only be tenable if a pastor is the one that confirms marriages. Do you understand my answer? Does a pastor, his ministry, does it include confirming marriage? So, okay. It is what you bring to me that I will join. Anything you bring to me, say, make I join you now. Now I go join. I am in the business of joining. I don't select. The selection is by you. I should be the one to ask you, what makes you think this is your wife? What makes you think this is your husband? Now me should ask. Maybe you go ask me whether this is my wife. Now me the Mariam.
Okay.
Even God said, the man that findeth a wife. So even God step aside for you to find. Then when you find, finish, you come to him, he will bless you. And to the froward, God makes himself what? Froward. Whichever way you appear before God, and so he will follow you. He gives you even your heart desire. Don't you want God to give you your heart desire? Eh? Eh?
Yes.
You have made up your mind that you love this girl and you come to God. Are you not coming to him to give you your heart desire? To bless your heart desire? If God say that is not your wife, you don't go vex with God. God is not giving me my heart desire. I came for him to confirm. He's saying anyway, I think I've answered your question. It's not the pastor's business to confirm. I know that by the gift of God, that sometimes the man of God can see something. There is a couple that, a brother that brought his wife, a girl he wanted to marry. And when they stood before me, I saw something. And what I told them was, have the two of you pray. The brother said, I said, go and pray again and come back. Right. I did that 3 times. Okay. If they were wise enough, they would have known something is wrong.
Right.
And it was on the day of wedding, fight start. Inside the car, Prophet Joseph was the best man. He was settling quarrel inside car. After reception, they are going home. Fight was going on inside motor. The woman slapped the brother. Powers! You say, why didn't I stop it? How can I stop it? He said, he loved her. You want me to spoil his mind? Even after I said, go and pray. He came back 3 times and said, he don't pray. God tell and say, now your wife. Now me go come say, not be your wife. Yes. There is a limit to our influence of such decision.
Praise the Lord. I just want to give a little advice to men, brothers and sisters in marriage. I want to say...
Go ahead. They need it. They need it.
Listen.
It's a man of wisdom. He's married.
Listen. We are
here. Sir, are you married?
By his grace.
Thank you.
We are here to understand each other. Understand me now? What I'm saying, because it's paining my heart. If I had a man married and later divorce came in...
It's very painful.
It touches my heart.
Yes.
I say, God, how can we stop these things in the house of God? So today, I came to pastor. And I've heard what you said. And please, church, let us follow the word of God.
And God bless you. Can we put our hands together for our God? Thank you very much, sister. Chapter 19. Hallelujah. Verse 6, 7, 8 says, the bride has made herself ready.
God bless you, sir. So please, I want to ask a question. How can somebody know that they have received the Holy Ghost? How can you receive the Holy Ghost? And when you receive, how will you know you have received?
Two questions. How can you receive? And secondly, how will you know you have received? So that you can stay in your husband's house peacefully. Praise the Lord. The answer is, you must be new in the church here. We've taken that several times. How? There are three ways to receive the Holy Ghost. Number one, in Acts chapter 10, in the house of Cornelius, while the message is going on, somebody can receive the Holy Ghost. Secondly, by laying on of hands, as we see in Acts chapter 8 and other scriptures, lay hand on them, and they receive the Holy Ghost. Number three is by prayer. Luke chapter 11 verse 13 says, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Ghost to them that ask him? So if you ask, he will give you. These are the three ways I know. Now, how will I know I have received the Holy Ghost? That is, you are asking for the evidence of the Holy Ghost. Now you don't talk about evidence until you know the purpose of the Holy Ghost. What is the purpose of the Holy Ghost? The purpose of the Holy Ghost achieved becomes the evidence of the Holy Ghost. I think I've answered you.
Because I was in a dream, then a prophet told me that I should pray, that God should give me the Holy Ghost.
Yes. So, and I've spoken, I say you can receive the Holy Ghost by prayer. In your room, pray. He can visit you in your room, during service, wherever he chooses to give you. One thing is this. The Bible says in John chapter 1, I think verse 10 and verse 11, he came to his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. The power to become the sons of God, that power is the power that transforms a sinner to a saint. If a man be in Christ, he's a new creature. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 13 tells us how you can be in Christ. By one spirit are you baptized into Christ. By the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you become born again. You become part of the body of Christ. Now, he said, by one spirit are we baptized into Christ. Now, if a man therefore be in Christ by the baptism of the Holy Ghost, he's a new creature. All things are past. Now, all things become new. There is a character change. There is a nature change. Now we have people who say they have the Holy Ghost, and there is nothing that shows that their own life, something has happened to it. Now there is the anointing of the Holy Ghost, and there is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They are two different things. The anointing of the Holy Ghost is God looking for somebody to use for any purpose and comes and places his hand upon you by giving you a gift to fulfill his purpose. But your nature, he leaves you the way you are. But the baptism of the Holy Ghost goes to your soul, changes your nature. Therefore, the Bible says a tree is known by her fruits. That's why it says, by their fruits you shall know them. A mango tree cannot produce grapes. How do I know this tree is a mango tree? It is mangoes we see as the fruits. Because a mango tree may look the same thing as another citrus tree. But to differentiate them, you look at the fruit. So the whole everybody can receive anointing, prophesy, follow that anointing, see vision, everything. But if you want to know who that, what is the spirit inside that person, you look at the fruit of the spirit to know whether the person has the Holy Ghost or is only anointed. There are a lot of people that are borrowed vessels of God. Like he borrowed an animal to prophesy to a prophet, Balaam. After that, he moved away and the animal continued eating grass. He didn't become a human being because of that. And he will not go to heaven because of that. Praise the Lord. That is the interesting thing about the anointing. That's why Apostle Peter said, be diligent to make your calling and election sure. Why did he say so? Because Apostle Paul lined it up for us. He said, for whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate to be conformed. That's verse 29 of Romans chapter 8. To be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. He said, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he called. Correct? And whom he called, he justifies. And whom he justifies, he glorifies. Glorification is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The finished work of God in your life. If God calls you and does not justify you, and does not glorify you, then you are only a borrowed vessel. So, evidence of the Holy Ghost is the fruit of the Spirit. It's not you working it out. It flows automatic. It's automatic. You don't go to a mango tree. Make sure you produce mango fruit. Make sure your fruit is mango. Make sure it's mango. If the seed that produced that trunk is a mango seed that was planted, don't worry. It's automatic. Praise the Lord. He said, Peter said, we are born again by the incorruptible seed of the word. If it is the word of God that you received, that got you born again, you can't help but produce, you know. See, he said that a man, he said, John said, he that is born of God does not commit sin. Am I correct? Do you know this scripture I'm quoting? He said, he that is born, that is, if you are born again, if it is God that got you born again, he said, does not commit sin. He said, why? He said, because his seed, God's seed remained in you. Therefore, he cannot sin. The seed that produced you is in you and is the seed of the word of God. When you want to do something, the word of God will check you inside. You will stop it. But if you got born again by the will, oh, glory be to God. Open John chapter 1. Read it for me. John chapter 1, verse 10, 11, 12. This is a very important question. That's why I'm answering it this long. He was in the world. And the world was made by him. And the world knew him not. He came unto his own. And his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Even to them that believe on his name. Verse 13. Which, this is where I'm going. Which we are born, not of blood, papa and mama, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but born again of the will of God. There is the will of man. Some people are born again by the will of man. I think I've explained it here before. You want to give your life to Christ? Stand up. I even see people that will go to the congregation. Why are you sitting down? Go out. Go. The Lord is calling you. Go. So when the man disturbs you too much, you don't go stand up. So you go stand up. Make this man leave me alone. Then you will go. Now, you want to give your life to Christ? Come. Say after me. Then you say that prayer and the man declares you born again. Did you say that? Yes. Now you are born again. Now you are born again by the will of that pastor. Because you said after him. Listen. The prayer for salvation. The prayer for salvation must not be recited. The prayer, I don't believe, say after me. I don't believe that that is what they teach them in school of theology. There is nothing like that. You don't teach somebody to repent when he finds out his wretchedness. You wouldn't even teach him how to pray that prayer. He's already crying. Apostle Paul spoke about godly sorrow that worketh repentance. How can you say after me, somebody is giving his life to Christ. What did you hear that made you to come out? What did you hear that made you to come out? Evangelists, you people are hearing me now, all over the world. All of you ministers, denominational ministers, listen to me. Listen to me. Don't tell anybody, come and give your life to Christ. Let me lead you to Christ. Lead you to Christ. You lead them to Christ by telling them about the cross. You lead them to Christ by telling them about the judgment that is coming. Lead them to Christ. Sing to them. Judgment is coming. All will be there. Each one receiving justly his due. What did he say he should do? See. Tell them the only reason why you will escape. You know, there is a message I'm teaching. I've been preaching for the past 2 or 3 weeks. To use Bible to show you what will happen to you if you don't go in the rapture. The thing that will happen on this earth after the rapture takes place. It's in the Bible. It's a horrible thing. It is called the day of the Lord. It is not judgment of hellfire yet too. By the time it is finished, the Bible says few men will be left on earth. If you hear me well, I will not be the one to tell you, say after me, oh Lord. Then you say, oh Lord, from today. And the person that is saying it, say after me, the sinner that came to the altar is laughing. He's laughing. Wait till this man say, make we talk. You say, wait till. I know you hear everything they talk. And now, then when he leaves, he's going home to say, I am born again. That person is born again by the will of his pastor. Not the will of God. If it's the will of God, it's the word of God you receive. If you stand up from your seat, you go to the altar. You're going to cry. You don't even have time to pray. You'll be weeping for yourself. It happened to me, and it still happens in this ministry. I've seen many altar calls. People are there crying. Where altar calls? I tell them, I say, you're not coming to me. Talk to God, not be me. I don't know what you are saying. Because the thing you are repenting from may be different from the thing this person is repenting from. Different from the thing this person is repenting from. So which prayer will I say to cover all of you? Praise the Lord. Be born again, not of the will of man, but the will of God. When you are born, if it's God that saves you, then you will be saved forever. Amen. Why? The seed remained in you. God bless you. Yes.
Praise the Lord.
God bless you.
I want to ask a question.
Yes.
When Jesus said that he saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning, where did Satan land? Is he in earth or in hell?
Which scripture is that? Praise the Lord. Where did you hear it now? What's your question first and foremost? What's your question first?
I'm asking where Satan land. What is it in hell?
Where he landed? Oh. Where did he land? He landed on earth. I think that is spoken to us in Revelation chapter 12. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Verse 9. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. He was cast out into the earth. And his angels were cast out with him. So he was cast to the earth. That is why we are suffering all the things we are suffering now. If God had put him in Jupiter, we would not have been suffering what we are suffering now. Correct? Okay.
My second question is, why did God come to wrestle with Jacob?
Why?
Why did God come to wrestle with Jacob?
No, it was Jacob that wrestled with him. It was Jacob that wrestled with him. God did not wrestle with Jacob. It was Jacob that noticed that this was an angel of God. And anytime you see an angel, then you take advantage of it and let all your problems be solved. He had a lot of problems, no peace. And he had to hold this angel, this opportunity, say, I will never let you go unless you bless me. So he was the one that held him. And we too, we can hold God in several ways. That I will not move unless you bless me. And he will do that. He saw opportunity and he took advantage of it. Yes. And God answered him.
Thank you.
Thank you too. Thank you. Good morning.
I am calling from Warren.
We are hearing you.
Okay, I am saying is Godship in the Bible, and if Godship is in the Bible, I've seen about 70% of people that have been in Godship, and yet their marriage is not. Hello.
Yes.
Hello.
We are hearing you.
I say over 70 or 80% of people that have seen the witness courtship, their marriage has not been going through the steps of God, and if you watch their marriage, they have never enjoyed godly in marriage. And as I'm speaking to you as your brother, after my several hello?
Go on, we're hearing you.
Their marriage has not been okay. And I said, after I married not. I married not by courtship. I saw my wife the very day by the help of God, and we clicked. And we clicked in the marriage. And from today, this is over 10 years. I've not quarrelled with my wife. I've not slapped her. We have been living just like Pastor Moti said. So, Pastor, I want you to clarify me. Is there things that Christians are not doing well that is making them to be formal in marriage? Please help me, because you have already
thank you.
Said that
God bless you.
The word of God.
God bless
but
you, Geoffrey.
I want Geoffrey. To tell you, sir, I married without courtship. I saw my wife the very day, and I got
thank
married,
you.
Sir. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much. God bless you. God bless you. Geoffrey from Warri Delta. What you are saying is, you said 70% of those who marry after courtship end up still in problem. I don't know how you got your statistics. I don't know how you got your figures. But we want to look at the wisdom behind courtship. If even after courtship, a period that you are supposed to stay enough for you to know one another and enable you to make a decision to stay together forever, even after courtship, 70%, according to your statistics, still end up with problem, then imagine how it would have looked like if there was no courtship at all. Then it will have been 100%. Amen. There must be something you saw in that woman that enabled you to make a decision. You certainly did not meet a stranger and decided to marry her. You may be smart enough to use a very short period, few days, and you see her do something that made you say, yeah, this is the type I want to stay with. You won't just stay and just look at a woman just because she's a woman and say, you are my wife. There must be something you saw about her. And certainly, before you decided to go and marry, if before going to marry she exhibited anything contrary, you will have changed your mind. So courtship is very important. You are lucky that you married a woman that you didn't know and you are still living peacefully. Yes, but that cannot be generalized. It is dangerous to marry somebody you do not know. God bless you.
Hello, I'm with you.
Okay, hello. Yes, we're hearing you.
My name is Dora Okechukwu from Aba. My question is about the Holy Ghost baptism that the pastor teach. I want to understand it clear that about laying hands on the Holy Ghost, there is a good word on that.
What's your question, Ikechukwu?
My question is, the pastor says that the Holy Ghost can come through laying hands. I want to understand that you cannot lay hands on that, because I was told in the scripture that the Bible says that we will pray and receive from the Lord, because it is the gift of the Spirit. I want to put me through on that.
Ikechukwu?
Are you with me?
Ikechukwu, can you open Acts chapter 8? Ikechukwu, can you open Acts chapter 8?
Go ahead.
Eh?
The laying hand of the Holy Ghost that Peter is talking of, that power and the belief of the people by them is not the same thing now. How can we see the Holy Ghost by laying hands and the cause? People pretend in using their tongues in talking about Holy Ghost.
Do I understand him?
So that's my goal. I want to put me through on that.
Sorry, Ikechukwu, I want to understand you. Are you, you have problem, you want to know in
Hello?
The scripture, you want to know in the scripture where you lay hand.
You didn't get me right.
Huh?
The pastor says, yes, Peter lay hand on that. Now, I want to know more of that, because the Bible says in that time, those days we're talking of, people could use their mind, their spirit. But presently now, people go on to know, blah, 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 from pastors. That kind of laying hands, can it be exist by now? It's not the gift of the spirit that God gives it, that the rest if you pray and believe.
Okay, God bless you, Ikechukwu. Let me show him a scripture. Let me show you one or two scriptures. In Acts chapter 8, Ikechukwu, Philip was in Samaria, and they all believed, and they were all baptized, water baptism in the name of Jesus. Verse 14. Now, when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet it was falling upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Verse 17. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. Go to Acts chapter 19 again. Paul, passing through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and he found certain disciples there who were believers but did not receive the Holy Ghost. Verse 4. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they had this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. So they laid hands. There's laying hand for healing, and there's laying hand for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. God bless you. Kechukwu. Yes, brother.
Praise the Lord.
God bless you.
Yes, sir. I want to really know whether it is good as a believer to marry somebody that is above his age, like women. That is my number one question.
Praise the Lord. Somebody asked this same question during the singles program. Listen, the only problem in marriage is that a minor should not marry. If somebody who is of age, you cannot marry until you are old enough to make decision for yourself. So, whether it is the man or the man sees a woman that is older than him and decides that this is what I want. Let nobody query you, because you are matured enough to know what is good for you or not. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. And my second question goes like this. A man that was an unbeliever got married to two women. That is polygamy. Then at the end of the day, he got converted. Then he had some issue with the both wife. Now, such a man, since the Bible advise us in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 3 verse 12 that we, as a deacon, you have to have one wife. Such a man, should he drive one of the wife?
No, I want to catch your question. You say later he has issue with the two of them.
Yeah, that is, he have children with both of the wives.
Children.
Yeah, he have children with both of the wives.
Yes,
he's in love with both of them.
And now he's a deacon.
He's a deacon. He has converted to
a Christian.
A Christian.
Now he's born a deacon.
Yes, sir. Should he drive one of the
wives? Who made him a deacon? The scripture says a deacon must be husband of one wife. And he has two wives, so he cannot be a deacon. That's all.
Sir, if he's born again, like he's born again, he's converted.
Yes.
He's born again. Should he still drive one of the wife?
Whether the now biblical, that he's born again, can he still stay with the two wives?
Yeah.
Or he should drive one away?
Yes.
Are you a new person in this church?
No, I'm not a new person.
How long have you been coming here?
It's up to 3 months now.
3 months?
Yes, sir.
You are not a member of the church?
I'm not a member. We just come for vigils.
For vigils. Yes, where do you normally go for Sunday worship?
Sir, I don't have a particular church.
You are a wanderer?
Yes, sir.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Okay. I know I have treated this topic several times. Everybody here can stand up and answer you now. But because of time, let me just summarize it. The teaching that says you should put away one of them. The first one you marry is your own. The second one is not your wife. A woman, the women that you married long before you came into Christ, that teaching is wrong. There's no scriptural base, scriptural support for it. Even from the statement that a deacon must be husband of one wife, a bishop must be husband of one wife, that is, a minister must be a husband of one wife, it means there are people who are sitting in the church that have more than one wife. But it's telling them, if you have more than one wife, you cannot be a deacon, you cannot be a bishop. That is the teaching. Why? Because you can only restitute something that is restitutable. You are to make right a wrong. And there are some wrong that you live with for the rest of your life. You cannot correct it. Because restitution is to take it back to the estate it was that you met it. And you know that woman, you have already used everything positive around her. Everything, you have finished her. And now you are saying she's not your wife. If it is possible to return her to how she was when you met her, then there can be restitution. But since it is not possible to take her to the stage that you met her and got attracted by her, so that you can take her there so that her own husband can also be attracted to her, then you can do that. But it's not possible. And remember that you also have children from her. So what will you do with the children from a woman that is not your wife, Abby? It is a wrong teaching. It is people using human reasoning and gentle carnal wickedness to smuggle that nonsense into grace. Because they don't know the meaning of grace. Grace came to us here. And there are certain things that it met us in. And we are dealing with human beings. And God cannot come to your family and come and scatter your family like that. You will stay together, but you cannot occupy certain offices in the church. Remember, marriage ends here. You can receive the Holy Ghost. It's a wrong teaching. The wrong teaching. God bless you.
Thank you, son.
And anybody hearing me now, if you drove away your wife, she's still your wife. Go and bring her back.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Yeah, my number third question is like this. I have a friend that just got married last year. That married, after marry, he find out that the woman he married was that is an in-law, that is a reverend in Assemblies of God at Calabar. That because the girl was staying with them, the reverend pronounced the girl. So after the whole marriage, that was where this my friend knew that this was what was going on. So now the woman are put to bed now. That my friend is saying that I want to drive this woman away. So this kind of phenomenon, what can a believer do?
First and foremost, it was after the marriage that he discovered the woman was pregnant. And the woman confessed that the owner of the pregnancy
is
the Reverend Father.
Yeah, the Reverend of Assembly.
Oh, Assemblies.
He was staying with that, the in-law. The man is the in-law of the girl, the very girl.
Oh, she was living in his house.
Yeah, he was living with them.
And he was sleeping with her.
Yes, sir.
And even pregnanted her.
Yes, sir.
So the question is, should he stay with her? Or what should he do?
Yes, sir.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
We treated this sometime, I think last week, where we said, if he decides to put her away, he has not committed sin. But if he truly loves her, he can forgive her, but make sure that reverend stops preaching by going to Assemblies of God headquarters and ask him to come and collect his baby at the headquarters. Thank you, sir. Thank you.
God bless you,
sir. I know Assemblies of God will never tolerate that.
My Father and my God, you earn my last breath. You have the final say over my life. That's why I must worship you, Papa. I must worship you because before the foundation of the world, you put my name in the book of life. I must worship you for the sacrifice of my body, Lord. Worship you.
I'm hearing.
Yes. Hello.
Okay, I'm talking from. I'm calling from Togo. My name is Shibu Chukuma. Shibu, Brother Shibu.
God bless you.
Yeah. Okay. Now my question is, I want to understand. I want to ask a question. My question goes is, I want to understand this matter of. Issue of Trinity, because I had a pastor preach about it one day. So, but I believe that there is a Trinity in the Bible, but the way a pastor is telling us or teaching about it, I want to hear it more and I want him to explain it more to my own understanding, because the way he was talking is like a father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, they are not a function one by one, but it's like they are one, but there is no Father and there is no Holy Spirit, but all centralized on Jesus Christ. So, sir, I want to know more about it. That's why I want to ask the question.
Hey, God bless you. Praise the Lord. Okay, that's a very wide question. But we don't have enough time. But I will refer you to the messages I preached. The titles include where you can get a better understanding. The titles include Who is Melchizedek? And another one I preached, I titled Who is Jesus? These messages, if you listen to them very well, I try to explain there that Deuteronomy chapter 6 verse 4 stated something. It said, "Hear, O ye Israel, the Lord your God, he is Trinity." What did he say? He is one Lord. Now, it is the Gentiles that have different gods. God for this, God for this, God for that, God for this. And that is idolatry. The creator of the heavens and the earth said it clearly that he is the Lord and his glory he will not share with another. And beside him, he said there is no other God. Praise the Lord. The problem we have is the usage in the Bible of the word Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. If there is a Father, there is a Son, and the Holy Ghost, and all of them are divine, then the Gentile believes that, of course, everything divine is God. So there must be three gods. But at the same time, they want to blend that tree with the God of Israel that brought salvation to us. So, they still end up saying, although they are three, they are still one. But that theology has no Bible foundation. You read the Bible very well. You don't see three persons in one God, which is called Trinity. What you see is one God appearing in three offices for the purpose of our salvation, redemption. In summary, it is not three persons in one God, but one God in three offices. The Father is an office. In creation, He is the Father. When He wanted to come to redeem His children, He came under the law of the kinsman redeemer. So He made Himself a body that He built in the womb of a woman. And it became His tabernacle. And that's why that child was called Emmanuel. God with us. It's the same God, the Creator, the Father, that came in His Son. That's why Colossians chapter 1 verse 15 says that Jesus Christ is the image of the invisible God. He said, for it pleased the Father, in verse 19, that in Him should all fullness dwell. And in chapter 2 verse 9 said, for the fullness of the Godhead dwell in Him bodily. Praise the Lord. That's why He said, if you see Me, you see the Father. He said, the Father and I say we are one. Praise the Lord. And Apostle Paul in 1 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16, he said, without controversy. He said, great is the mystery of godliness. He said, God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached to the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up the glory. Who was he talking about? It's Jesus Christ, but He was God in the flesh. That's why He was Emmanuel. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hebrews chapter 2, if you read it from verse 14, let us know that because the children are partakers of flesh and blood, He Himself therefore came to partake also of that same flesh and blood. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. All for the purpose of our redemption. He is not three. When He finished paying the price of redemption on the cross of Calvary, He went back to what He has always been. To come back to dwell in another office of the Holy Ghost in those who He has paid the price for. The baptism of the Holy Ghost is God Himself dwelling inside of us. So it's three offices, not three persons. And His name is Yeshua. Yeshua means Jehovah saves. The Greek word for Yeshua, Hebrew, is Jesus. That is the name of God for the purpose of redemption. That's why He gave it to His Son. Because God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself. That is why He placed His name there on Him. And the Holy Ghost is coming in that same name. John chapter 14 verse 26. For the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, which My Father will send in My name. That is why the name of the Father is Jesus. The name of the Son is Jesus. The name of the Holy Ghost is Jesus. That is the name we baptize with. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Anytime you call Jesus, you are calling the Creator, the name of the Creator of the heavens and the earth. There's nothing like Trinity, three persons in one God. Nothing like that. Our eyes of understanding He has opened up at last. And sweet victory is ours. We are chained down in the past. True jubilee has sounded. And we have responded.
to our God is original. The original. The original sin. The original word is what I believe.
Anytime you say, Father, I want to see you, reveal yourself to me, who will you see? It's Jesus you will see. Praise the Lord. Why? That is the tabernacle of God. God cannot be seen. He said, no man has seen God at any time. John 1:18 says so. Why? And you cannot draw the picture of God. Because it's a spirit. Amen. That is the interesting thing about him. Hallelujah. No man can draw the picture of God. How big is he? How does his face look like? Which camera capture it? He said, no man can see his face and live. Praise the Lord. Oh, there is a Melchizedek that Abraham met. I think that is Genesis 15 or 14. And then and in Hebrews chapter 7, it was Apostle Paul that let us understand who Melchizedek was. Who did Abraham meet on the way? When he was coming from Sodom, he met a man called Melchizedek, a priest of the Most High God. That is all he knew him. But this man that he met, he had no beginning of this, no ending of this, no father, no mother, no descent, no ending of, no birthday, no die date. He lives forever and ever. Who did Abraham meet on the way? He met God. God took a body to be able to relate with a man. Jesus is the body that God built to relate to us. To pay the price of redemption. To redeem us. That's why it's a great mystery. That if the princes of this world had known, Apostle Paul says so. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, if they had known, they would not have crucified him. They did not know they were killing Emmanuel. They were stoning Emmanuel. They were stoning their maker. They were crucifying their maker. They were whipping their maker. Gave him 39 strokes. They were torturing their maker. If they had known who Jesus was, they would not have crucified him. Praise the Lord. That is the mystery about him. So this only form of appearance to relate to us is that body of Jesus. God bless you. I want to quickly add that Jesus is the only personality in the Godhead. Because he's a person, we can see. But God you cannot see. So you cannot say he's a person. The question again. Okay, SMS. Sister Oju from Nigeria here. Pastor, under what condition can a woman remarry after being separated from her husband for 10 years, even if it is 1 year, it's the same condition. It's a condition that he has left you to go and remarry. And tells you he doesn't want you again. And makes good his decision by going to marry another one. You won't remain like that now. You go and marry yourself. You have to go and marry another man for yourself. I think that is the only reason. God bless you. Yes. Hello?
This is Philip. Yes. Okay.
Phillips. Yes.
Hello. Hello, this is Philip calling from China.
Oh, China.
China.
From China. Philip from China. God bless you. We are hearing you.
Okay, my question is that since I want to know the issue of dressing for a woman, for women not to wear what belongs to man and man not to wear what belongs to a woman, if I want to confirm, does this have anything to do with culture?
You want to ask if it has to do with culture?
So, what I mean by culture is that in Africa, you know, in Africa, our lady in Africa wears the wrapper in Africa. But here in Asia, what they wear here is Brazil. Just like in India, India also wears Brazil. Japanese wears the Brazil. So does this have anything to do when they say that women should not wear what belongs to a man and the woman should not wear what belongs to a man? So I want to confirm, does this have anything to do with culture?
Okay, thank you very much, Brother Phillips from China. God bless you. Yes. We're talking about whether it's culture, tradition, whatever you call it, what is acceptable as the culture of the people. And when it comes to culture, where it is not fashion. Now, quickly want you to know that in the Western world, Europeans and the Americans, when I say Americans, it includes North and South America. Even Australia and Africa. And these places I mentioned, for instance, it is clear that trouser belong to the man. The woman wearing trouser is fashion. I saw a piece of news that in the 18th century, that is 18th or 16th century or so, that in France, that there is a law among their criminal code that forbids a woman from wearing trousers. And somebody brought it out that law is still there and it has been overlooked, that time has made that law now obsolete, that they should expunge it from their laws. So that somebody will not wake up one day and pick that law and begin to take women to court for wearing trousers. So it means there was a time that it was even banned in Europe. And so, man wear that which pertains to a man, and a woman wear that which makes you, when they see you, they will know that is a woman coming. Your dress should also reflect your identity. Now, we have cultures like India, the Chinese people, and even some of the Arab-speaking countries, where they have a certain kind of dress that looks like trousers down. But you know it is not the type of trousers that are worn in the Western world and Africa women wear. It is something that has to do, it is their traditional dresses, and it is not culture. I mean, it is not fashion. It is their culture. So you won't say they are wearing that which pertains to a man. When you see a woman wearing that type of thing, the dress they wear, what they put on top, you will even see that it belongs, it separates them, it distinguishes them from a man. Thank you very much. Yes, somebody is on air. Yes, sir.
My question is that the pastor was answering a question last week. I was not quite clear. I want to ask, a situation whereby a man that legally married to his wife and he has authority over his wife and is telling the wife maybe relocate it, maybe to his home country or to somewhere else. And some of these nowadays women, they don't want to move because they are trying to emulate the culture in Europe here that a woman has equal rights with a man. I was asking like a kind of a Christian, during the time of in the Bible with Moses and his wife and his children went with him, even when he was going to a place where he was driven before. And Abraham, that didn't know where he was going to, and he told his wife, and they followed him. And Sarah called his husband, my Lord. And my Lord means the one that has the final say in your life. So I don't know why it should be these days around that a woman not obey her husband. Last letter.
First and foremost, Brother Ima from Iceland, listen very well. There are two situations here. If you marry a woman in the Lord, she's a believer like you, and you tell her, let us move to another place, and she refuses to follow you, like this case we refer to, from Europe, a Nigerian married to a European, now he wants to come home, and the woman refuses to follow you home. The question is she a believer? If she's a believer, she will never disobey. When you marry an unbeliever, you must be very careful. And remember, the environment that you are in there, their human rights there is upheld so much. And you cannot force somebody to do anything against his or her will because you are husband or wife. So you have to put that into consideration, that if she's an unbeliever, you cannot use Bible to rule her. It will not work. But if she's a believer, and you say, let us move, because remember, you have exchanged vow for better, for worse. Like Ruth and Naomi, where you go, I will go with you. Your God shall be my God. Your people shall be my people. Where you die and buried, there shall I also be buried. If I change my mind, let this thing go against me. But it's not the situation. This is an unbeliever. So you have to understand that. Secondly, we also expect us to be considerate. Where are you taking her to? A place where she does not feel safe. Praise the Lord. A place where she does not feel safe. A place that she's not sure of her safety. Now that girl is coming, or that your wife is coming to a place where she's not sure of her safety. You say she should obey you. You should be considerate and convince her. I said convince her, persuade her, and not order her. Because you think you're a Christian. If she doesn't follow me, you go. And you want to compare her with Moses. There's nowhere in the Bible where we see any woman disobeying the husband other than King Ahasuerus and Queen Vashti. But all others, who are they to disobey in those days? Who are you? Can't try that. They put you away and pick another wife and go. Praise the Lord.
My question is on the mark of the beast.
The mark of the beast, yes?
The Bible says that those who refuse it cannot buy or sell.
Yes.
And you also said that those who have it will not inherit the kingdom of God. So what should the man do? How can we escape it? What should we do can we refuse outrightly? You know.
If I understand your question, repeat it.
Okay. The Bible said those who have the mark of the beast.
Yes.
No, who refuse it will neither buy nor sell.
Yes.
And also it says if you have it, you cannot inherit the kingdom of God.
Yes.
So what should we do? How can we refuse it and be safe?
Sorry, sir. Are you a member of this church?
Yes.
Talk to microphone.
Talk to me. Yes, yes, yes.
You're a member of this church for how long?
For a year plus now.
A year plus. Those who will face the Antichrist and have the opportunity to take it or reject it. If you take it, you will not. No, at the time that the Antichrist will be given that mark, as at that time, it will be better for you to take it. Because if you don't take it, you will suffer. If you refuse to take it, they will kill you. And remember that as at the time that they are given this mark, rapture has already taken place. So, it doesn't concern those of us who have gone. It is for those who have not gone. They are the ones that will take the mark. Okay. So it doesn't concern me. Okay.
Second question, sir.
Yes.
It's about marriage, and I'll be very glad if any lady, any woman can volunteer and answer, you know. I want to ask the women, you know, why is it that when a relation of yours, your relation, comes to live in the house, there will be peace. But when the reverse is the case, there is war. So I need an answer from any ladies.
You have to ask a lady that you know has that problem, because it's not every woman. My own wife, when my relation comes, there's no problem.
So I think it's a general thing. It's a general thing.
No, it's not. But is there any woman that wants to answer? But I think I know the answer. But let me answer. If you are not satisfied, then another woman can add. It is simple. In the Nigerian context, when the in-laws come into the house, that is the wife's in-laws, the relation of the husband, comes into the house, they don't come and, you know, they don't come with this in mind that they have certain limitations now that their brother is married. They come and begin to behave around as if the man is a bachelor and as if they now own the house and the woman is a visitor. And the woman must protect her territory. That is why there is always problem. So, the problem is not with the woman, the problem is with the relations of the man that comes in.
Okay. So in other words, sir, when a man is married, he should cut off from his people.
When you say cut off, remember, the Bible says, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife. When you say leave there, is leave the influences of your father and your mother, leave their influences. When you are married, you know, your status changes, and therefore there are certain behaviors around you that must change too. And it is not easy for relations to accept the woman like that. They always want to see her as a stranger. It's your responsibility, therefore, to protect the woman and set the limits for your relations. I'm also aware that some women are just naturally selfish like that. They won't let any visitor come, even including their own visitor, their own relations. It is also possible. But those are extreme cases. I call them psychiatric cases. They are not normal people. You don't come to a man's house and tell him to cut off from his relations. When you come, you have come to join a family. And you must do things that will make them accept you. And you too must accept them. That's the truth. You have come to join the family and not to pull him away from his family. You must take note of that, the women. God bless you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Can we clap our hands for Jesus? Clap your hands for Jesus. Hallelujah.